No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. And today we're having a sit down with somebody who's made a lot of noise on YouTube and other platforms over the past few years. I'm very impressed by the grind. Corporate is in the building.
Blessings. I appreciate a bit, Dow.
How you doing, man? Very nice to meet
you. Likewise. Thank you.
Definitely. Yeah, man. You've been going crazy the past few years. When do you think you really started your ascent into becoming what you are now?
I want to say, 2016 is when the series of videos that I produced called Chicago Be Like,
right,
when it first started taking off. I want to say 2018 is when it started, you know what I'm saying, reaching new heights. I believe that's the first year that I got the chance for AT&T to reach out to me and work. So
they want, they had you make a piece of content for them?
Yes.
What did that look like?
Starring me and my daughter. It was like a commercial for a campaign that they had.
Okay. Oh, dude, I told you the salt's not coming out right. It wasn't loaded right, but now watch it.
That's a crazy contraption.
I mean, that's... If he comes back, I might give him another shot, but I swear it's not working right.
Yeah, I got a little PTSD. You get to pulling out guns.
Sorry, man.
You feel?
I'm about to put a switch on this thing, actually.
That's wow.
I got a whole plan. But okay, wait, how'd that work? AT&T just reaches out to you and they say, hey, we want you to make some content for us?
They had this campaign, I want to say it was called The Codes of Culture, and they had me as one of the headlining faces for being one of the people that's rewriting the narrative of Chicago. So, yeah.
Interesting. So they didn't think your content was too edgy for them or anything?
Not at all. It was more so, you know, it's a ability to connect with the people, you know what I'm saying? And also, it's ability to help erase the stigma that's, you know what I'm saying, hovering over Chicago. Cause of course, you know, you ask anybody up, even if you tell somebody I'm from Chicago, they be like, oh, Chirac.
Right.
I'm like, nah, it's Chicago.
Bro, Flocko be doing that to people all the time. I've learned not to do that. When people tell me where they're from, I'm not like, oh my God, that's where everybody getting popped.
For sure.
It's just, that's like asking an Asian girl what kind of Asian she is.
It's just like the
most obvious thing to say to somebody from Chicago, so you got to try to avoid it.
Most definitely. I hate that shit with a passion. I ain't going to lie to you. I feel like a lot of motherfuckers that's not from the city, they be saying that shit just to be cool. You feel me? Like, but I hate that shit for real. Like, I don't endorse that term. I don't use it. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to contribute to, you know what I'm saying, Chicago being known as Chicago. You know what I'm saying? I understand where the term came from in regard to it being similar to, you know what I'm saying, different statistics over, you know what I'm saying, in Iraq and so on and so forth. I get it, you know what I'm saying, but motherfuckers trying to stray away from that, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
But I heard you talking in one interview about how it wasn't until you left Chicago and started living in different places that you started to realize how weird some things about you, just because you grew up in Chicago, were. Does that also extend to, like, now that when you go to other places, are you like, oh, fuck, this is, like, they're way less concerned with violence, or they're people are thinking about the possibility of a drive-by way less here? Does it really feel like that when you go other places now?
For sure. Shit, even, you know what I'm saying, being out here, you know what I'm saying, lovely LA, you feel me? It's over pleasant, you know what I'm saying, so on and so forth. But, you know, I'm still looking around trying to, and motherfuckers that's not familiar with that, they be like, are you okay? Like, is everything all right? Like, you know what I'm saying? But I can't help that shit.
Right. I mean, LA is... I feel like it's pretty safe unless you are a rich person slash flexing.
Oh,
you
know, God, for sure.
You run around with a bunch of jewelry on and everything, never mind cash, definitely you could get guy.
For sure.
And then if you're in the streets, if you're a gang member, if you have beef, this kind of thing. I mean, as a regular civilian, I mean, well, there's a lot of home invasions and whatnot, but,
for sure,
you know, the average person, I don't know how much violence is a huge concern for them.
Oh, God.
But do you feel like the average person in Chicago is... very on edge, like, or I mean, realistically, most of the killing in Chicago is rival gang members,
for
right?
sure. But see, it's a lot of, you know what I'm saying, innocent bystanders, unheard of amounts of innocent bystanders that, you know what I'm saying, fall victim to, you know what I'm saying, different beefs. And, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times it ain't even beefs, it's goofies with poles, like, you know what I'm saying, straight bullets, motherfuckers trying to be cool, like, you know what I'm saying, like, you know, imagine, you know, I recall, like, you know, a child just in a bedroom playing in the comfort of their own home.
Yeah.
Bullet come through the window. Like, you know what I'm saying? That type of shit caused a different type of PTSD. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like, you never know. You could be tucked and put up somewhere, like, you know what I'm saying, and out the way. And you know, that type of activity will still find you.
Mm. Do you remember when Chief Keef came out?
Absolutely. For sure.
How old were you?
Let's see. So this was 2012. I'm 34 now, so shit.
About 10 years ago.
Yep, type shit.
So, I talked to a lot of people, and it's always interesting to hear their perspective, because even, like, D Gaines, who shot a lot of Chief Keef's sure. early videos, when I was talking to him, he said that he remembers a time where, I think it was King Yella or FBG Duck, that they just were in the studio, Lil Durk walks in. The GDBD thing was not like that at that point, where these guys couldn't be around each other. You know, they said what up, they kept it moving, and then he said after that little JoJo shit happened, that that's when it really became this like life or death thing, where the city was kind of split down the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from my recollection, you know what I'm saying, during that particular time period, you know what I'm saying, definitely rest in peace to Lil JoJo. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan of Chicago culture altogether. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool with the BDs. I'm cool with the GDs. Like, you know what I'm saying? I have rapport with both sides and, you know what I'm saying, other sides. So, you know, just being somebody that's looking from a neutral standpoint, you know what I'm saying, that particular area, I can definitely see where tensions increased. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's always been a different type of tension in Chicago, but during a particular time, you know what I'm saying, tensions had definitely increased for sure, for one reason or another.
Mm. And it feels like now it's kind of like almost past a point of no return, because the fans just hype this shit up on social media. It's just like there's so much energy between groups of people that it's kind of hard to imagine the way out of that. Would you say that that's accurate?
I don't want to say it's to the point of no return, because that's one of my main, like, job duties is like switching that, improving that, so on and so forth. But however, I can empathize. You know what I'm saying? It's been a lot of bloodshed. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers lost people, like lost loved ones. Like, and you know, how do you tell someone that, you know what I'm saying, lost someone that they was close to? In a lot of cases, it was blood or motherfuckers that they grew up with and they lost them. How do you tell them, like, just chill and let it go?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I empathize with, you know what I'm saying, the beef being deep. But however, I still, you know what I'm saying, well, Martin Luther King, I have a dream. Fuck time about that. Chicago is going to get back to a decent place. So, and I'm one of the main, you know what I'm saying, perpetuating forces behind trying to make that happen. So, yeah.
It's interesting, yeah, because, I mean, somebody like you spreading a positive message, we could probably list off a shitload of people from Chicago that are spreading positivity and not adding to that shit. But when you have, like, the top rappers basically just still reveling in that shit, it's kind of hard for us to imagine moving past it. I think the thing that really would need to happen is, like, you really need to get all the bigger rappers from the area to kind of be on the same page in terms of not saying certain things or making shit sound cool in records. Because that's the whole problem, is that kids just think killing and gangbanging is cool.
You know, I got some thoughts, different thoughts that surround that. Well, one, I want to say, let's just take drill rap in general. You know what I'm saying? You had a lot of people that was saying drill rap specifically is, you know what I'm saying, what's really pushing motherfuckers to act the way that they act. Me personally, I never had anything against drill rap. And the reason being is that, you know what I'm saying, life is about love and war. You know what I'm saying? And both sides deserve to tell their story. As much as you got motherfuckers like singing about love and, you know what I'm saying, good times and so on and so forth, on the other side of the spectrum, you know what I'm saying, motherfuckers speaking about their life experiences, you know what I'm saying, and the turmoil and the struggle, so on and so forth, they deserve to tell their story as well. However, I've always felt like there could be a better balance of, you know what I'm saying, the love and war, you know what I'm saying, as far as the music is concerned in Chicago. Because imagine if you got, you know what I'm saying, just drill, 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 drill. We're indirectly and subconsciously breeding militants. You know what I'm saying? If you have this energy that's consistently and constantly being, you know what I'm saying, oozed into your veins, like, you don't have any choice but to, you know what I'm saying, breed, you know what I'm saying, motherfuckers that's under that act So, you know what I'm saying? One of the things about my brand is just kind of opening up that spectrum. You know what I'm saying? My music, even when I rap, you know what I'm saying? I'm rapping about some real shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm putting shit on motherfuckers' minds, taking shit in another direction. And even with the productions that Chicago has, you know what I'm saying, found themselves to love so much. In addition to, you know what I'm saying, relating to that side of the spectrum, I'm also showing, you know what I'm saying, other areas. You know what I'm saying? That are very relatable to Chicago that, you know what I'm saying, kind of drive us away from what the whole world, you know what I'm saying, view us as. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, when you think about Chicago, you have a bunch of rappers who have really served as like examples of how you can be a popular rapper from Chicago or from, you know, a city with a lot of violence and be able to totally transcend that shit. You look at Common, you look at Lupe, you look at Kanye, you look at Chance. I mean, L.A., it would be harder, I think, for you to find examples of people who really, like, rose to the top of the rap game without having to talk about street shit. But right there, you got a bunch of fucking examples of people. Because that's what you really, like, need to do if you want to change the culture, I think. I remember being very excited when Odd Future came out of here because I was like, bro, this is a fucking young, popping crew of rappers from L.A. who are not talking about violence and are not associated with street shit. They're clearly not a gang. And this, like, is the shit that needs to be cool, because then we can have more kids who want to skateboard, who want to make art, who want to have fun with music and shit like that, and not just sort of play into these negative tropes.
See, whole time, like, I'm not even going to speak against, like, you know what I'm saying, the most popular drill rappers from Chicago and the messages that they putting out, because, like I tell you, they deserve to tell their story. But I think they should also contribute to a balance of putting something else on motherfuckers' minds, because imagine, the truth of the matter is, I ain't even going to hold you, the main motherfuckers that's really, like, putting that shit into the atmosphere, G, they're not there in the midst of that shit. Mm-hmm. So you're putting batteries in the backs of motherfuckers that's still in the land, and you know what I'm saying, they taking lives and they having to put their lives on the line while the motherfuckers that's really like just only putting a focus on putting that energy into the air, where they at is fountains and birds singing and dolphins and moats and shit like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's probably the most fucked up thing about it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Woo. So if a lot of the motherfuckers that's, you know what I'm saying, part of the drill rap scene that's from Chicago, that especially not there, still tell your story. Motherfuckers love those stories. I love those stories. You know what I'm saying? So on and so forth. But try putting more energy into creating a balance and putting more shit on motherfuckers' mind other than, you know what I'm saying, kill, 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 drill, drill, drill.
But do you see it even in yourself? Because I know on a personal level, there's like a couple of King Von and Lil Durk songs that are like my favorite songs from them. And they're the most disrespectful songs that I would not even sing on camera, that I would not want anybody to see me vibing to, because the shit is too toxic. But I can't lie that there's something of that energy where you know that they're talking about somebody that they fucking despise. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, like, turn away from that because you know how real that conflict really is.
Most definitely. Like I say, though, they're telling stories that motherfuckers love. Their shit that Duck has released that is the most, like, despicable shit that right. you could ever, you know what I'm saying, lend your ears to. But that shit raw as hell. Mm. And Durk has said some shit. He's put some shit out. Von has put some shit out, like, that was just fucking amazing. Mm. Like, from a creative standpoint, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you know what I'm saying, there are sets of people that wouldn't share those same sentiments, because, you know what I'm saying, they're addressing shit related to some of their loved ones and so on and so forth. But I'm just speaking on, you know what I'm saying, more so the creativity. And then, of course, like, you know what I'm saying, you'll have motherfuckers like, well, shit, how would you feel if, you know what I'm saying, somebody that you love got killed, and somebody, is it possible for somebody to creatively speak on their death? Mm. You know what I'm saying? So I also empathize with that as well. You know what I'm saying? But I just feel like a lot of the, you know what I'm saying, main pillars in the drill scene, if they could just, you know, if they aren't going to steer away completely from telling those war stories, then put the same energy you put into those war stories, put into, you know what I'm saying, different areas that at least give the people a chance to make better decisions, you know what I'm saying, in other directions. You know, it's a real complicated situation, for sure.
Definitely true, for sure. And I mean, even when I look at that kind of thing, you see a lot of people who do a lot of charity stuff.
For sure.
And then they rap about crazy ass shit that nobody would really be able to deny inflames tensions there or otherwise. You know, a lot of people like to balance it out by doing a lot of charity, but then meanwhile their music is like a straight advertisement for murder.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of wild.
It's really the messages that motherfuckers put out, I think they really sometimes underestimate just how much they affect. And then when you steady oozing that shit, like they don't even know, you know what I'm saying, the effects that they having on motherfuckers. Mm. Like there was a freestyle that I had called Letter to the Members, you know what I'm saying? And in the midst of everything that's going on, and not only my hood, you know what I'm saying, but a lot of hoods around the world, I took that opportunity to remind motherfuckers actually what was the original purpose of gangs. Mm. I also say I don't have anything against gangs either. It's more so about what you stand for. We need representation as a people. The police are a gang. The judicial system, though, those are gangs. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we need that as well.
Right.
So it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Even when I was saying in the shit, like, I'm just reminding motherfuckers, like, do you know the real reason for assembling gangs was to emasculate the system and contribute to change? Google search Black Panther Party. Like, that's the type of shit that you got to put on motherfuckers' mind. Like, you know what I'm saying? So if a lot of the other artists that's, you know what I'm saying, one of the main pillars in, you know what I'm saying, pushing a drill culture could put some energy toward that as well, that'll give, you know what I'm saying, Chicago a fighting chance at, you know what I'm saying, flipping the narrative type shit, you know?
When you put that kind of content in the lyrics, do you feel like people are receptive to it, or do you sometimes feel like the more political or the more socially conscious that you get with the bars that people maybe tune out a little bit?
You got to be creative with that shit. Because, see, like the Black Chicago B-Life videos, right? Overly popular. But at the end of those videos, there's a more of the story. The more of the story is usually a lot of different life lessons that even a lot of my peers or even the younger youth, they're not receptive to those things from people that are in their lives, like their teachers and family members and so on and so forth. But, you know, what I come to find is that adults are a lot like children. For real, for real. You got to trick them. When you think about, like, you know what I'm saying, with a child and you got some food on a spoon and they and you like, you know what I'm saying, and they laughing and you stick it in there. So it's just like, for me to deliver life lessons and real shit that need to be put on motherfuckers' minds,
right,
I'll sprinkle some beefy buns in there. You feel me? Some witty situations, relatable situations, you know what I'm saying? Location, scenery, and so on and so forth. And before you know it, damn, this nigga done just taught me something.
Mm.
So sometimes you got to be creative with your message. You know what I'm saying? And I'd be about that too.
Right. Definitely. It's like when you're giving your dog aspirin. You gotta mix it in with the food.
Oh God.
I'm not a dog guy, right, but I've heard.
Oh, my mama, for sure.
So did you, when you were a young man, did you always feel like you were funny? Because when I watch you on camera, I'm just like, holy shit, this guy really has like an understanding of how you can take like a somewhat normal sentence and just stretch a word out or add a funny noun to it, or just you just throw some spin on certain phrases that you use that's just hella viral and funny. And I just feel like you're clearly somebody who's thinking about how to make people laugh.
For sure, most certainly. I quite honestly, motherfuckers be hailing me as some type of Kevin Hyde or something. You feel me? Like, I don't even think I'm that funny for real.
Right.
It's just a matter of me knowing how to package and present.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? When I'm coming up with videos, when I'm coming up with music, anything, I take the same strategy or the same process that you would use for an essay to construct that shit. I have how I'm gonna bring it in, the body, which is the situation, and how I'm going to take it out.
Really?
So I know how to take shit, package it, you know what I'm saying, and present it. That's it. That's all.
Mm.
Screenwriting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all self-taught? Did you ever get somebody to fucking teach you at a certain point, or were you Googling shit, or you just kind of figured it out?
It just figured it out. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of trial and error, even with the videos. Like, I edit all my own videos. That came with hours and hours and hours of YouTube. You know what I'm saying? I started off on a mobile platform from 2015 to the top of 2020, and then that's when I started using Final Cut.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I spent hours and hours and hours learning Final Cut.
You were doing everything on your phone before that?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. I meet a lot of YouTubers who are pretty decent size or kind of big.
Yeah.
And then I realize like they're doing everything on their phone, which is crazy to me because I always grew up, I had a fucking computer. I learned to edit on a computer. Like I never knew that. That's
See,
amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Like, because when I first started out, motherfuckers was hurting. I was in between blessings. You hear me? Like I was barely able to pay my motherfucking phone bill, but it's like, well, shit, I'm gonna put this motherfucker to work. Shit, this is what I could afford. I could barely afford it, but this is what I could afford right now. So I had to make do with what I had. Shit, until I got to a point where I was able to invest in a Sony A7 III. You know what I'm saying? And then over time, like now I got Sony A7 IV. I'm using G Master lenses, like, you know what I'm saying, Pete McKenna filters, like, you know what I'm saying. Motherfuckers get busy now, but it was a process getting up there.
And do you have like a team that helps you put the videos together, or are you mostly doing it alone?
Only I edit, but I do got a team that like help me record and all that. But as far as the Black Chicago Be Like videos, only I edit. But my music videos, Coldview Films do my shit.
And you write the entire video, so that's all out of your
off
head?
The top. Yeah, I don't write anything down.
Wow.
Yeah, I just stand there, I tell motherfuckers what to say and how to look, because the lines are important, but how you look and how you deliver it is damn that double important.
I think it's super impressive because you started out with mostly shorter content, right?
Exactly.
And then you were able to transition into doing fucking 30-minute videos. And when I'm looking at it, normally when you see a series of like, you know, part 30, the views drop off as time goes by, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, no, these all have like 1.9 million views. Like the fans are fucking tuned in to the whole series.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, you got to steadily improve your craft. Like, you know what I'm saying? Even at the top of this year, I came up with the method of reinventing my shit by making it more interactive. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the video, I ask motherfuckers, what should I do? Mm-hmm. And then whatever they say I should do, then that's what I do in the next episode. So that'll have me generating 10, 12, 15, 18,000 comments under a video. You know what I'm saying? So you just got to steadily increase and improve your shit.
And what's the shit that they ask you? That what do they want from you the most?
It just depends. Like, you know what I'm saying? I had a video that I did where, you know what I'm saying, I was dealing with a young lady. In the video, that of home was played by K Valentine, rapper from Chicago. Shout out to K Valentine. And she was drunk. So I asked the people, like, well, shit, should I take the high road and chill? Or should I go ahead and whoop her shit? You feel me? Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I let them decide type shit. But, you know, even with...
But do they want you to do the right thing, or do they want you
It depends. Because really? I ain't even going to lie. A lot of motherfuckers was in the, you know what Eminem said? Fuck that shit, raw dog and bail. Like, they was on that type of shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? But with that particular episode, it's crazy. I had a twist with that. So the vast majority was saying, like, nah, I'll take the high road. And I'm like, at the top of the next episode, I'm like, well, shit, y'all wanted me to take the high road? Well, shit. Head ass, I'm finna whoop shorty shit. So sometimes I, you know what I'm saying, do my shit, but you know what I'm saying, it's still a lesson at the end, because that shit led up to me getting arrested at the end of the next episode. So, you know, it's always something to learn from.
So if you're capable of allowing your character to do some fucked up shit just so that you can explore that part of
Most
the psyche.
Definitely. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's... life, you know what I'm saying, takes you in different directions. I didn't address so many different topics over the course of the years, from, you know what I'm saying, domestic abuse, rape, drug abuse, like, you know what I'm saying, even letting motherfuckers know that even at a young age you can have shit like high blood pressure, you know what I'm saying, and shit like that. So it's like I'm touching on everything that we need to be aware of. So
Yeah, when I was interviewing Ewall and Rico Reckless, I think it was that episode.
Good friends.
I said something about how the porn girls, if I pull the strap out and put it on the table, they'd be looking at me like I'm crazy. And they said, in Chicago, if you don't pull one out, they're going to be looking at you like you're crazy.
As far as like...
You know, you go to visit a girl, and if you don't have one
they're
going to be looking at you like you're tripping.
Nah, whole time. That's the thing, though. They pulling that bitch out. They already got that motherfucker out, for real, if we want to keep it a huncho.
Really? Even the girls got to protect themselves?
Yeah, pipe right there. Walk up in Shorty crib, she got pipe on the bed like that. Right. Shit, I ain't going to lie to you. That shit do something to me.
Really?
I ain't going to lie, like, damn, Shorty, like, come here.
Well, it lets you know not to fuck around.
Man, look, it let me know.
It too much, right?
Not even in that. Like, that shit turned me on. Like, you got pipe, Shorty? I love you, Shorty. Fuck your time. So yeah, type shit.
She gotta have all the PGF Nook modifications on it.
Oh,
and shit.
God, look. Well, she could just keep it classic, just the base model. You feel me? Like, I honor that shit.
When I interviewed Dan Bilzerian in Vegas the other day, when I walked into his crib, I fucking looked down and I'm like, "You got a fucking PGF Nook gun right here, bro. Right, right, I got all kinds of little shit on it."
For sure, for sure.
Damn, you ever try to do guest appearances on the videos? Like, have fucking different rappers come in and like play some roles and shit?
Oh, for sure. Rico Reckless was one of the first people. Yeah, EWOL was in one of the last ones.
Right.
Yeah, probably one of the last two videos EWOL was in there. So, man, Louie, I done had quite a few. Two characters off The Chi, the movie, the television show The Chi. I done had two of them. Bart, his little brother off the show. Man, I can't even recall. I be having motherfuckers sliding through shit for sure, for sure.
Have you managed to mostly just get love at this point, or is there a backlash, or is there negativity as a result as well?
The love is beyond understanding. There's some hate in there, but you know what I'm saying? I don't have any real ops, just motherfuckers that feel a way about me, you know what I'm saying, doing my shit type shit. So yeah.
But people don't get pissed off about it?
No. I mean, how can you? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's really doing what it needs to do for Chicago. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you mad at that, your whole perspective is whack. Like, right. You feel me?
But how do you tread the line? Because you obviously are somebody who's interested in lessening the violence and making Chicago a safer place and everything like that. But then at the same time, the stories you're telling through your videos are very much like, you know, the shit that people are going to really love seeing is the real shit. And the real shit is a lot of times not going to be stuff that necessarily, you know, is peaceful. It's like the most relatable shit that you're going to be talking about is stuff like what we just said. Like, fucking, I like when I see a girl got a gun by the bed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, relatability. You know what I'm saying? Because I done had videos where it's a shootout in the street. Like, motherfuckers blowing at each other. You see motherfuckers got the 50 on there and everything. You know what I'm saying? So on and so forth. Like, and, you know, on that journey to teaching, you know what I'm saying? You got to relate. That's the only way you're going to be able to hold their attention. Mm. So, you know what I'm saying? Even the shit that's, you know, not too favorable, you know what I'm saying? So on and so forth. I got to hit that shit, too, in order to be able to really touch the people. So I'm going in all directions.
How much does this shit change your life? Because, I mean, you must be bringing in some pretty good money at a certain point here.
Yeah, it's enough for me to take care of my kids. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So so on and so forth. But I could definitely say it took me off that air mattress for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So you choosing to come in here humble. You don't want to be the one coming out being like,
nah,
yeah, I'm killing it. Yeah.
I ain't with none of that shit, G. That, I don't know. That I, you know, to each his own. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know, you know. Motherfuckers know what the fuck going on. I don't need to do all that. I'm more so about, you know what I'm saying, just showing that, like, you can see it. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can feel it. I'm not the type of man. I don't need to come in flashing and pulling out money and all that shit without the bam. Like, you motherfuckers know what the fuck going on.
So you're not going to come in here with a big-ass corporate chain, ice the fuck out, 100
nah,
grand on
man,
the necklace?
Look, man, to each his own. I do want a chain, but it's, like, more so a memory pendant for my little sister that passed. But other than that, it ain't really my thing.
Right. I respect it, especially if you're trying to be a comedian. If you're trying to, well, you don't like comedian, but
oh God.
If you're a content creator, if you, I don't know, I don't feel like people necessarily want to see you like stunt like that.
You know, that stunt shit ain't even relatable, G, because it's a lot of motherfuckers out here that ain't got it. Mm. It's more respectable for you to be trying to get back for real, for real. Mm. That's how you end up making yourself a target.
I always felt like that, but then when I watch YouTube, a lot of times it seems like people just love seeing somebody showing off their $10 million mansion. Or I remember it used to be so big for like the FaZe dudes to make videos like, I spent $20,000 at the Gucci store, which to me, I was like, I'm surprised that the fans want to see that so much, because I'm thinking the fans mostly are working minimum wage. They're like, this is a totally foreign concept to them, but some people want to live vicariously and be able to do some shit that they couldn't do
for sure
through your YouTube content.
Man, it's a fan base for everything. It's a fan base for two bitches shitting in a cup. You know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of like, it don't even matter, G, for real, for real. Like, that type of shit is just, you know what I'm saying, not my cup of tea.
Right.
Like, so, you know what I'm saying? So I prefer to move around from that.
But you don't like the comedian phrase, even though I feel like you're so good at being funny that...
By mistake.
It's by mistake.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like a spoken word person. Like, I love to rap so much I could cry.
Yeah.
But I can't help that, you know what I'm saying? The funny shit just blew up beyond understanding. So it's just kind of like... That's just how it be sometimes. And I can understand why people be like, hey, he's a comedian. Like, you know what I'm saying? But motherfuckers know me in real life. I don't even be playing. I don't be playing around.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Low key, I'm dark in real life, for real, for real. Mm. But, you know, motherfuckers wouldn't expect that. They'll meet me in real life and they'll be like, man, why are you not telling the joke or something? I'm just like, what?
So if I spent a week with you, do you feel like I would see a totally different side of
Absolutely.
Your personality?
You'll be like, okay, I get it.
More chill and less funny?
Absolutely.
You kind of flip a switch when you got to get on camera and make it more entertaining?
You'll be like, okay, it's just a natural funny. You know what I'm saying? And you'll be like, this nigga is like fucking Malcolm X mixed with, you know, it's like Malcolm X mixed with, you know what I'm saying, in a pot with all your drill rappers with a little bit of Chance, like, you know what I'm saying, Chance the Rapper, like, it's just, you know, but all that play shit, you know, motherfuckers from Chicago don't even play like that. I think it's crazy, like, motherfuckers love me for putting the Chicago shit into the air, but forget I'm from Chicago for real. Motherfuckers don't play like that from Chicago.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? You coming up to me, I don't know who you is. I don't know what's to you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers got trauma, like real trauma. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even, you know, I remember how much of a dark place I was in when they murdered Zach TV. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was a real good friend of mine. We graduated from the same college. I mean, the same high school, same year.
The anniversary of his death was just the other day.
Oh, God, for sure. I had a dark cloud over my head after that, because it was just like, he was such a cool individual. He was a great guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? And me, I'm a dickhead for real. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of different theories that surround, you know what I'm saying, why he was gunned down, you know what I'm saying? But for all we know, he was gunned down because somebody couldn't afford his Zach TV interview and they felt the way. And my prices is high on every motherfucking thing. So what would a motherfucker do to me? And I'm an asshole.
Right. Yeah, I feel like that was a big eye opener, because you have this whole new lane in which, you know, a young person could make money independently with the YouTube shit and everything. And Zach TV was clearly at the forefront of that, doing all these interviews and getting all kinds of unprecedented access to people at a time when this was very, very new. And then for people to see him die made them realize, like, oh, shit, as a content creator, you're not necessarily safe from all the bullshit that could happen to you.
You know, that I think motherfuckers just be forgetting, like, what we got to deal with is real people. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, as much love and joy as I bring to the city and the rest of the world, like, it's still motherfuckers out here that want to do harm to me. You know what I'm saying? As a result of that. So that keep a motherfucker on their toes. That had me looking crazy and all that. You know what I'm saying? Woo, like, I don't got no chill nowhere. Like, you know, I don't have no motherfucking chill, because I just don't know what the fuck happened, or who the fuck, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel like you can't trust no motherfucking body for real.
And how old are your kids now?
My oldest baby is 12, my middle child is 6, and my youngest baby is 3.
And that really changes how you view your own life, right?
Absolutely. They need me. Like, you know what I'm saying? And each one, I'm big on generational wealth. So before I leave this earth, I need to prepare my children to be able to keep the brand going. Like, you know what I'm saying? So that alone, what if somebody take me up out this shit before I get a chance to really put what I need to put on their minds, G?
Right.
That's stressful. So it's just like, I just be in a dark place a lot of times for real, but people would never know it, because when you look on YouTube and look on the internet, I be playing. But you know what I'm saying? That's a character. I ain't gonna say that's not me. That's a percentage of me. Like, you should be real out here for real.
But do you ever wish that you could really show every aspect of your personality, or is that a goal in the long run to be able to really hit people with the real you?
I mean, originally, when you think about the evolution of the videos, they were all fun. Over time, along with the production getting better, they start getting darker. The storylines start getting more serious. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm incorporating my real spirit into the videos over time. And then plus, motherfuckers get the real me in my raps too. So, yeah.
It's like a whole new generation of, like, real people from real backgrounds. Because I actually got put onto you from my girl, CeCe Reacts.
Oh, God, yeah.
She tapped in with me. Oh, she does your publicist stuff, too. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we've been locked in for sure.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, yeah. So she hit me up because we interviewed her. And she was just like, check this dude out. You might fuck with him. And, you know, I was totally into it. And she's an example of somebody who is just out here telling her real-ass stories.
Exactly.
Totally unadulterated. educated. She's not the type of person that you could imagine that in prior generations a TV network would have been like, oh, here, have a show to tell all these crazy ass stories throughout your life. But she got the YouTube channel and people are really gravitating towards it. And she's turning herself into a fucking YouTuber, a personality influencer.
And I seen her growth, though, is a beautiful thing. Once you click that algorithm on YouTube, it's over with.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Are you, any of your kids old enough to appreciate your content yet?
Oh, for sure. Brazil, my oldest baby, she's in a lot of my video. A lot of people think that's my sister, but that's actually my oldest daughter.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I've been putting her to work. She's been getting to it, like, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, understanding the hard work that goes into it. I've had a few Chicago videos that she narrated. She's the only other person that's ever narrated, you know what I'm saying, a Black Chicago Be-Like video. Wow. And even during the course of the recorded process, I remember the first time she was, you know, sitting there for such a long period of time, she get the crying and shit, and I'm like,
she was nervous to do it.
She wasn't nervous. She got her heart like her pops. Like, you know what I'm saying? She get to it, but it was just kind of like it was weighing down on her. And she like crying and shit. Like, and I'm like, this is hard work. You know what I'm saying? Daddy shoots for greatness, and Brazil is gonna do the same.
Right.
And then I remember she. And got that shit done. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my homie for sure.
That's dope. Was she really excited when it came out?
And absolutely. And she see, like, okay, this is what hard work does. And to see the numbers, like M's. Like, you know what I'm saying? On the views, like, yeah, she know what's going on.
Because kids get YouTube these
absolutely
days.
Yeah. My six-year-old and my three-year-old, they navigated, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy how kids is at this time.
Could you ever do a kids channel?
I would like to. I would love to do, you know what I'm saying, some kid-friendly content, something for us. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying, something that they could relate to, that's teaching them shit, so on and so forth. So that's definitely on my schedule of shit to accomplish.
That's what I think when I'm watching The Wiggles or Blippi or whatever.
I'm thinking
like, so I could just do this. I could just put on a weird-ass costume and be like, hey, how you doing?
For sure.
That's like a fucking crazy lane to imagine that you could be a grown-ass man who creates a business and a channel off of dressing up like a goofball and then just acting corny as fuck on camera, and that's a lane. Like, there's people making millions of dollars doing that shit.
It captured the attention of the young mans that it need to get to, so it works.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this shit is wild.
A blessing, for sure.
That's a fact. Let me ask you this, because you mentioned him earlier. We were just having a conversation in here about how up until a couple of years ago, it felt like Chance's career was really being like fast-tracked. Like, he was becoming one of the top rappers. He was right there in the category at Cole and Kendrick and all these guys. And then he puts out that album. And I mean, for me, I've listened to him over the years just to see what he had going on. But I'm not like the type of person who's like super invested in his music or whatever. But then I'm starting to see the tweets and I'm realizing people really don't fuck with this thing. Mm-hmm. And it kind of feels like now, because he's got another album that he's about to put out, that's kind of the question. It's like, how ready to love Chance again are the people? Are they ready to let him back into their hearts? How do you feel about that?
Well, Chance, I've always been a fan of Chance. Definitely one of my homies, you know what I'm saying? As an artist, you know, we have these different creative spaces, you know what I'm saying, that we find ourselves in. Obviously, with his last body of work, he was in a happy place, you know what I'm saying? And maybe that didn't, the majority didn't take to that because they weren't in a happy place, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like people want different shit at different times, you know what I'm saying? And that's one of the biggest pressures that we are under as artists. Like, we'll have some shit and we'll be like, man, we know this shit. I done had plenty of shit where I'm like, man, this shit gonna hit. Woo woo. And then as soon as it drops, womp, 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 womp. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it like, it be like that shit. But shit, I hope that his next body of work do what it's supposed to do, for sure.
It's hard to make being happy really like resonate with the people sometimes. I feel like because so I'm reading Will Smith's biography right now, which is great reading. You should definitely read it because him sort of like doing the TV thing and doing the rap thing. And when his rap career fell off, he came right back with the TV thing. And then how he sort of masterminded how to become a movie star. It's like very inspiring. And it kind of reminds me of what you're going through. But when I was thinking about, so I'm reading his shit, and the song that really brought his music career back when he fucking really, his music was at like an all-time low. Nobody was fucking with him, but the TV show was hot. And then he wrote that song, Summertime. Mm-hmm. And fucking that song, I was watching the video with my girl just being like, bro, you never see songs like this anymore that are just straight up. What's it about? It's about how there's a bunch of hot girls out, how the weather is nice, how everything is good, everybody's chilling. I'm like, this is not, and I was thinking about, I gotta say, it was a good day by Ice Cube back in the day too. Another song, a little bit more gangster, but you know, he's basically just talking about how he had a good ass day. And you don't see a lot of those songs really popping off these days. People kind of want turmoil and tension, I feel like.
You can deliver happiness. Like I was saying, it's about how you package it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to package that shit a certain way for the people to be like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Woo woo, because there are some people in a happy place. During 2020, when the PPP shit was popping, everybody was in a happy place. You feel me? Like, yeah. So it's really just about how you package that shit for sure.
Do you think the PPP shit kind of fucked up a lot of people's lives? Because that's what I keep hearing is a lot of people got a real taste of what it was like to have money. And now a lot of those people are out doing robberies and doing all kinds of crazy shit because they want to recapture that feeling they had.
No, I ain't even going to lie to you. Like, I know that's one of the reasons why it's going to be a hot summer. Mm. It's going to be a hot summer because, you know what I'm saying, seeing this that amount of money for different people, like, it put them in a position to kind of start to establish a way of life that they unfortunately weren't able to maintain. So now motherfuckers still want the hunger of that shit that they got a taste of, and a lot of motherfuckers are willing to do it anything. So it's just like, man, that's real shit.
I mean, when I talk to people who own stores around Melrose area in LA and shit, like, that's one of the first things they bring up is how everybody's scared to go out and go shopping these days, and that the reason that they blame for all the people out here doing robberies is basically because of the fact that people got that taste of having money with the PPP shit, and they're just fucking, they're out here trying to get back on that level.
Man, look, you got motherfuckers that ain't never had nothing. You hear me? I'm talking about nothing. All of a sudden, there was no nice restaurant where that bitch wasn't bussing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Dior buckets and Gucci boots and Louis shades. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was that for a lot of motherfuckers. But once that shit started drying up, I feel like it's definitely going to be ugly this summer.
Because you've been getting money for a while, so you're not necessarily like jumping out the window. But did you see people in your life where you were like, you're wild and you're going to get caught up and you're going to get one of these crazy-ass cases that we're seeing a bunch of people get? Or anybody that you kind of looked at and you were like, damn, like, I'm worried about how
man,
this
you know
ends.
What I'm saying? I'm one of them type of motherfuckers. Like, you know that meme of Kermit sipping his tea? That's me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just man's like, you know what I'm saying? However a motherfucker winning, I love to see it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, a lot of shit is meant to come to a certain type of end. And, you know, I wouldn't wish that for anybody. Right. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, to see motherfuckers winning, like, whenever I see black people happy, like, one of the times I seen black people, like, happy and working together, you know what I'm saying, as crazy as it is I was downtown Chicago in the midst of the looting after George Floyd. Like, I'm talking about, like, one of the first nights where it was really, really cracking. Like, walking through, I shot a music video down there. And
that's what you were doing, or you were there to march?
I was down there to shoot a music video.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't even, at that time of day, at that night, it wasn't even about marching. It was all about getting up in the motherfucking stores and getting what the fuck you could get. You feel me? So I went down there and shot a video and shit. And even in the midst of that shit, like, you know, you had BDs and GDs working together. Motherfuckers trying to get the shutter up on the, hey, you need help, bro, for the game. Like, motherfuckers, like, you feel me? Like, motherfuckers was working in harmony. Like, it's a fucked up situation to see that, but it was beautiful to see.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers working together, but yeah, shit be crazy.
Ultimately, after having lived through the George Floyd era, the protests that came afterwards and everything like that, do you feel like anything changed in America? And do you feel like anything will change as a result, or you feel like shit is pretty much back where it started?
You know, I be feeling like, you know, when you think, we getting a something. Nah, no, we not. You know what I'm saying? So it's discouraging as far as like change. There have been different, you know what I'm saying, advancements that have took place that show that we're making progress.
Right.
But as far as really seeing what we looking for, shit, we might not even see that in our lifetime, G. The system is the system.
Okay, so how do you feel when you see people saying defund the police? Do you think that is an effective slogan? And do you think that, like, that, or do you think that kind of turned a lot of people off, maybe?
As far as defunding the police, I could definitely see where that idea came from. I think in general, there are a lot of other important areas where funds need to be allocated towards. When we think about how many different things that our cities choose to fund over, you know what I'm saying, our schools needing funds and, you know what I'm saying, helping to get the homeless off the streets, so on and so forth. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think in general, you know what I'm saying, the allocation of finances needs to be reevaluated. You know what I'm saying? So as far as defunding the police, like, you know what I'm saying, I definitely could, you know what I'm saying, understand, like, you know what I'm saying, why motherfuckers feel that way for sure.
In terms of your personal dealings with the police or how you feel like the average person around you feels about them, do you feel like the police in Chicago are reasonable or unreasonable?
You know, to keep it a buck, you know what I'm saying? I have tension, you know what I'm saying, toward law enforcement, you know what I'm saying, for different reasons. I don't think it's just in Chicago. I think, you know what I'm saying, across the states, you know what I'm saying, is different, you know what I'm saying, police officers and motherfuckers that's in that position that just be on some other shit, some dirty shit, some crooked shit, you know what I'm saying, so on and so forth. And, you know what I'm saying, I've came across, you know what I'm saying, shit like that that just got me feeling a way toward, you know what I'm saying, law enforcement in general for one reason or another. Don't get me wrong, I've came across some cool-ass cops. I've came across some cool-ass detectives, you know what I'm saying? But generally, you know what I'm saying, if I see law enforcement in my review, like, you know what I'm saying, I'm tense.
Nervous.
Nervous is an understatement, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I feel a way to the point where even I have law enforcement come up to me and tell me how much they fuck with my videos. It's bittersweet. I can't even participate in the good energy that they're trying to extend to me because I have so much tension toward law enforcement in general.
That's a weird feeling because when you're young, when you're like 18, you can't imagine like relating to a cop because they're all older than you and shit. But now that I'm older, it's kind of weird. I might get pulled over by a cop who's younger than me.
Yeah.
You know, I might get pulled over by somebody who I feel the vibe. The last couple of times I got pulled over where I can kind of feel it, that they recognize me. And that's a weird equalizer.
Man, look, that reminds me. I was on 87. Police get behind me. Ooh, I'm in a car with me and my homies. I'm damn. Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Woo out the bam. They pull motherfuckers over. They get to the window. Man, I just want to let you know I fuck with your videos.
That should not be allowed.
Now I'm looking at them like, first of all, everybody hots in a motherfucker cop. Doo-doo, doo-doo, doo. Like, you know what I'm saying? We don't know how they coming, like, you know what I'm saying, and you wanna pull me over, you know what I'm saying, to give me good wishes in regard to my productions, but it's just like I can't even enjoy that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm still trying to come down from my oxygen stopping. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just like that tension between shit. Now, I'm sure it's a lot of people that fit it. The tension between law enforcement and the people, that shit is thick. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, one day at a time with that shit.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of how you want your career to go from here, and I've been thinking about this a lot because when I was reading the Will Smith book, he's so deliberate with how he chose his movie roles because he knew he wanted to be a mega movie star. He didn't want to just be a guy who was in some movies.
Like, for sure.
His first movie, he turned down a $10 million acting role to do another film that had that was $300,000 because he believed that it was the kind of role that would get him to where he basically got in his career, you know?
That's real.
When you think about where your career could go from here, what are the primary things that you think about?
Well, I want to piggyback off that shit with him choosing the $300,000, right? You know, I had a conversation with my homie, right? Big Twine, you know what I'm saying? He in a lot of my videos without the band. He gonna laugh when he see this, but look. So he having a conversation with me, he like, you know what I'm saying? What if Kevin Hart, you know what I'm saying, or somebody gave you like $2 million to go on tour with them to be a stand-up comedian? Would you do it? I'm like, nah. And he looking at me like, what? You fucking goofy? Like, you wouldn't do that? You know what I'm saying? Woo-woo. Like, if I genuinely don't believe in that for me, why would I participate in that? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's about what I believe in and what I stand in. So I'm like, if we going off of your logic, right? Then that means you're willing to suck dick for $2 million. And he just like, Yeah, bitch. Because if you genuinely, like, if that's something you genuinely won't do, then that means somebody can buy that from you. Mm. I believe that's actually the definition of selling your soul. When you compromise what you firmly and strongly believe in for financial gain, that is selling your soul. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, he firmly believed in the path that he wanted to take role-wise, so on and so forth, to the point where he was even able to take a significant pay cut. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's real nigga activity, and that's just how I'm coming to. Like, so, you know, I can relate to that shit. Like, I know what's meant for me, and I know what I'm on, and if it don't line up with my vision, that shit over with, no matter what.
You know what the crazy thing is? That he had the right people on his team, too, because his manager was the one who told him that he didn't think the $10 million role was the right one for him. And when you think about a manager, he said his manager was getting, like, 15% of everything mm-hmm. he was doing. So okay. his manager's basically missing out on like $1 million right
sure.
there.
Yeah.
Which is, that alone is a fucking huge decision, and says a lot about the people that he had around him, that they were interested in the long-term life of his career. A lot of people don't have that.
For sure. I have that in my team as well.
Really?
Because you my two managers, Stein Redwell, like, you know what I'm saying? They know how I'm coming and how I feel about shit. Mm. And even if something is really yielding like a significant gain, if it doesn't line up with how I'm coming, get the fuck on somewhere. Mm. And that's all. But see, they get a percentage of that.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? And that's a sacrifice for them as well. But they believe in me, and you know what I'm saying, how I'm coming. So, you know what I'm saying, motherfuckers just roll with the blow. Like, you know, but you got to have a good team. You got to have a good team around you, for real. So I can relate to that as well.
But it's interesting. You sound like somebody who's really confident in your talents, because you believe that you could turn down the comedy opportunity, because you believe that what you have going right now is strong, and that you could take your talents in a lot of different directions?
For sure. Like, mm. you know what I'm saying? A few months ago, I turned down a role for a project on Netflix.
Really?
Yep. The terms, you know what I'm saying, that, you know what I'm saying, were being extended to me just wasn't right. And you know what I'm saying? I could have just took it like, well, shit, I'm a have some work on Netflix. You know what I'm saying? So on and so forth. Well, let's do it. But I know what I know.
The money wasn't right, or was it?
The money wasn't right and the terms weren't right. But see, if the terms was right, I could have dealt with the money.
But the terms, in terms of what, them some having some kind of exclusivity over you, exactly. or something? Like, you couldn't do other roles?
Exactly.
Or? Okay.
Like, you know, it just wasn't worth it.
Really?
So it was just like, even with that, like, you know what I'm saying? Nah, I'm Gucci. And who would turn down some shit like that? Mm. Like, that's a you taking your whole little brand to a whole nother plateau.
But that's the power of you already having your platform and already having some bread, is that you can turn that down and be like, nah, maybe I'll wait 6 months or a year till I get the offer that's right for me.
Man, it's all about, you know what I'm saying, being your own plug, G. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? That reminds me of something I said in a rap. They can cancel your role for whatever reason, but when you write and direct, they got to see you every season. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in control of my own shit. So it's like, when other opportunities, you know what I'm saying, come about, oh, okay, well, out the bim, if I'm not fucking with it, I'm not fucking with it, because I'm an introvert. Mm. I don't like people. I'm not very friendly. You know what I'm saying? And especially in the entertainment industry, a lot of your progress can be influenced by networking. Mm. It's hard for me to network because I don't like people.
Right.
So that's why I work double hard to compensate for the lack of opportunities that I miss out on as a result of not being friendly. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I work to increase my skill sets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm acting. I'm also recording the shit, working the equipment, editing that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I try to create this, you know what I'm saying, foundation for myself that makes it hard for me to have to lean on another motherfucker.
Right.
For sure. So it's definitely about that.
You know, yeah, as a creator, you want to build the kind of platform that allows you to have the lifestyle that you want to ideally have. Like, an example of that would be, I know someone who used to make a shitload of money on from advertisers. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point, he kind of realized, he's like, I'm going to take my platform and, you know, have the business model of my platform be my fans paying me $10 a month for the content, because he didn't want to live in a world in which he had to be worried about getting canceled, or want to have to worry about, you know, his sponsors turning on him because he's involved in some controversy or whatever. And I really respect that, because that allows him to then explore whatever the fuck he wants to explore on his podcast. And I mean, that ultimately, like, same thing with me. Like, I would like to make more money from sponsors for sure, but I also don't want to build the kind of business in which I have to constantly be thinking about keeping the sponsors happy. You know, I want to be able to say edgy shit on here and have conversations that a lot of people might consider offensive.
Absolutely, because you know them YouTube community guidelines, you got to be really like in tune with those, because it don't take none for your shit to be yellow.
You get yellow a lot?
Well, see, I'm very in tune with them guidelines. So I drop some shit and I upload it as a draft. If that shit ain't green beamed, it ain't dropping. You know what I'm saying?
But you get them turning yellow after the fact sometimes?
Nah.
Really?
Okay. That hardly ever happens for real. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, over time, you learn how to work around getting your shit yellow. Like, for example, like in the videos, I can be behind a female, like, but if you can't see on camera that the pelvics are touching.
Right.
That will get yellow. But if you have it from the waist up, that's green.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Or I have motherfuckers in the streets, boom, 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 boom. It can happen. You see the sparks and everything.
But you don't show the actual gun firing?
It has to be blurred.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you figure out ways to work around what you need to work around and shit, you know?
We just kind of go for it and just hope for the best,
which
is not always the best way to go about it. But, you know, I see somebody like, I watch this dude Swamp Stories, who does all kinds of crazy hood stories and shit. And like, you could tell that he started getting demonetized a lot, because when somebody gets killed in one of these stories that he's telling, he'll say, corporate rolled up on Adam 22 and then, bow! And then he'll just put RIP Adam 22.
Exactly.
God forbid. Yeah. On the fucking screen. Mm-hmm. I could tell that he's just got hit too many times, because when you're on making a video and you're saying, and then he shot him 12 times in the face and he died, I mean, that sentence alone is like a target for the YouTube algorithm.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you'll have surface stuff that's like, okay, obvious, but then you'll have deeper shit. Like, one of my productions was If the Man Off of You Was from Chicago. Like, that show You Network. Off Netflix, right. And I narrated and did it in the same fashion that he do. In the first episode, there was a lot of attention on the girl that was walking, which was Sarah Black. Shout out to the Sarah Black. And she walking, and you know, you can see the jiggle in the ass cheeks and everything, so on and so forth. That got yellow because there's a YouTube community guideline against like predatory type activity. So it's like, if it seems like you're preying on someone and it's too much of a focus, your shit'll get yellow. I had a vlog activity like that as well, where it's like I saw a girl jogging in a park and I'm behind the tree and I'm going back and I'm behind. That was predatory.
Oh, wow.
So they yellowed it. So you really have to research the community guidelines to make sure your shit be green every time.
But that's the shit that's fucked up too, is that a skinny girl, a girl with no body on her, will not be likely to get hit by the algorithm. But if a girl has big ass tits, I mean, shit, she was born like that, but she got a big ass, all of a sudden the algorithm is just fucking, you know. But if you're like a 90 pound chick on the beach in a bikini, the algorithm's not gonna pick that off,
man. Look, when I don't know, the platforms clearly got something against the curvaceous.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? TikTok is not fucking with me. Like, sometimes I'll be decent, like, you know what I'm saying, but I remember the video where they stopped fucking with me. You remember the wipe challenge?
White.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I had, well, I'm in the bathroom, and then I had the Sarah Black and Tookie behind me. I'm talking about throwing the motherfuckers, you hear me?
Right.
They took me out the ever since. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Your video stopped getting as many views after
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they be feeling their way toward the beefy buns. I ain't gonna lie to you. Just gotta work your way around it.
It's a fucked up world we live in, where your career could just be affected that much by some crazy robot shit. Not to mention, half the time it's just like a bunch of haters reporting you, and that's what's getting your shit taken down.
Yeah, for sure. It's crazy. You really got to figure out a way, like, you know, to have shit be on Instagram and Facebook, like, you know, shadow banning and all that shit. That shit is real. Like, you really got to, especially as a content creator, you have to figure out how to really, like, monetize on each platform. And even with Instagram, like, I don't even really go live on Instagram like that no more, because I done found out about Bego.
What's Bego?
Bego is like it's a live streaming app where you get paid to go live.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and this motherfucker's on there that don't even got no following that's clearing 24K.
Whoa.
I just got on that motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm on that bitch constantly. Like, you know, it's basically like Twitch.
Okay.
Like, Twitch is for gaming. You sitting, you gaming, right. but Bego is you moving around.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And getting paid to go live. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you really got to figure out social media and find how you can capitalize off of each platform. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
It occurs to me that there used to be, like, for people our age who we remember, that there used to be all these amazing hood movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that has really kind of slowed to a crawl. You don't see a lot of it. You do see some dope shit, like, I still haven't seen it, but I know Boosie put out a movie mm-hmm. independently, charged people $5 or whatever it was, made like $1 million right away. Mm-hmm. That really was like, oh, shit. Okay, so there's a real market for this kind of shit. I feel like you are someone who clearly has like the talent and the skill set to really like do that kind of thing and really document the world that you're coming from and make this kind of movie type thing that can maybe hit a bigger audience than what you currently have. Is that something you ever think about?
I'm literally in negotiations with a large platform right now. I want to be, I've said it before, but this a rather large platform for me to really say who it is. We still getting this shit together, but I'm it's not Netflix, but it's a large platform that has a very high interest in Black Chicago Be Like the Movie.
Really?
So we are literally in the process of, you know what I'm saying, getting that approved and rolling right now.
That's dope.
For sure.
Is there anyone else that you're willing to admit that you look at in the world of like people just making independent content, funny shit that you look at and you're like, that's a person who's doing it right. I look to them. They give me some inspiration.
You know, I study everybody that's like clearly like has more impressions than me. So on and so forth. Country Wayne is in my search by. Ha Ha Davis is in my search by. Desi Banks is in my search by. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of different creators. Like, I've accomplished what I've accomplished, which is my floor is a lot of people selling. Like, you know what I'm saying? But now my ceiling is a lot of their floor. So I'm trying to figure out how can I get past that, you know what I'm saying, and get up on their level. So it's just like I be paying attention to what motherfuckers on for sure.
Right. One person that I think he's one of the goats of this shit, one of the funniest people who made a platform from himself is Drewski. You agree with that?
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. His numbers are fucking amazing. I've never met him.
The hits just keep coming, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he just fucking hits me over the head with some shit that blows my mind all the time. I thought it was fucked up, though. How do you feel about this situation? So he made a video basically about dudes who love to get drunk and fucking get girls drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he's clowning basically on dudes who rely on this as their way of getting pussy, is like trying to hype girls up and make them take shots and shit like that. And it was actually so controversial, they ended up taking it down. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's too edgy?
That's what type of culture we in, G. I don't have anything against any type of content that's putting out there, because it's relatable and it's something that's real. If it ain't real for you, it's real for them.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of like we just in a time where motherfuckers is just a lot more sensitive. So it's just like a lot of times we can't really get our shit off like we want to. You know what I'm saying? So it definitely be like that. A lot of times we got to be conscientious about, you know what I'm saying, what we're doing.
That video still, I think, got like many, many millions of views because other people re-uploaded it to Twitter and stuff like that. But I actually thought that was a super important one, because I was watching that shit cringing, thinking about the way that shit was when I was in high school and stuff, where that shit seemed totally normal to me. When you're at like high school parties and the guys are trying to get the girls to take a shitload of drinks and everything like that. And I think by that skit, you kind of like raise awareness of that. All of a sudden you have some 18-year-old kid who's thinking, oh, that shit is corny.
Yeah.
That's something I want to look out for. I don't want to be that kind of dude who's on that kind of time.
The times that change, because whole time, like I told you, I had the video situation regarding Shorty being drunk.
Right.
If that wasn't attached to a moral of the story, ain't no telling how motherfuckers would have felt. But let me tell you, in my earlier videos, I had a video talking about how motherfuckers used to run bitches. Wasn't no moral of the story to that.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And I'm outside. I got the bottle in my hand. I'm waiting for my turn. You hear me?
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So I done did that type of shit. At that time, like, it was a little more, you know what I'm saying, digestible for the people. But we're in a different time period now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because you always want to push the edges. You always want to, you know, like, comedy is about taking risks, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, if you want to make people laugh, you want to try to poke at the situations that people aren't talking about, which is why I thought that Drewski video was so fucking killer. But then, you know, sometimes it's like you run a little bit too far in the other direction. Have you ever felt like you kind of crossed the line or did something that you kind of had to take back, or you wish that you could have took back?
There's a video, I like that type of shit, I would consider it to be dark humor.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And there's one video that I was kind of skeptical about putting it out, but I'm like, fuck it. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's dark humor. Very simple video.
Mm.
And there was a video, there was a sound on TikTok, and I think it was from one of those, like, Marvel-type movies where the voice, the sound is like, goodbye, little one. Like, you know what I'm saying? Some shit like that. So I green screen myself in front of Planned Parenthood. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking to it like, goodbye, little one. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's whack. But look, motherfuckers will feel a way about that. Like, you know what I'm saying? So when I put that shit out, I'm like, this shit, wow, but fuck it.
Abortion's one of those things that can really divide society.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was motherfuckers in the comments like, I'm so disappointed in you. Mm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Woo, but it's dark humor. You feel me? So it's just like, you, I don't know. This is how it is nowadays, for sure.
Definitely. Okay, so what would you say that the fans should be looking out for in the near future in terms of new shit that you got, that you're bringing to the table?
For sure. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I just released my latest single, Bitch Back. My next single, Throw That Ass, you feel me? That's coming next, you feel me? Wop the Bam. Definitely look for more content, you know what I'm saying? And definitely the official announcement of, you know what I'm saying, closing that situation with that last platform. This would be a huge W.
This is the calm before the storm.
Absolutely.
Because you're about to turn chilling. Up.
What? what Dirk say? Man, what? Like, you feel me? Like, this really about to be that. So definitely stay tuned for that. And y'all already know what the fuck going on. My folks just going to keep it coming. You feel me?
I feel you.
On God.
Corporate.
Blessings.
I appreciate you, man. Thank
man,
you,
thank
so,
you
much.
So much. The
cool ass dude.
Mine. Appreciate yeah, you.
Thank
for
you,
sure.
Man. For real. Everybody go tune into his channel. He don't need the help, but go give him some more subscribers.
Love.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate
Corporate,
you.
Corporate, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Patreon. Like, comment, subscribe, nojumper.com. If you want to support, appreciate you.
Man.